oftentimes when we mention that we are physicians to our friends and family, the automatic response always go something like, oh, you're so young, study TCM, you confirm have very bright future ahead. Or while you study TCM, so cool, right? And I think this sentiment is quite reflective of the general public as well, lah. The people usually have quite a positive impression towards our profession. But I think not many people know that being a TCM, especially in the context of Singapore, is very, very challenging. And it's getting harder and harder for me to justify why anyone would want to enter into this field. Right, so in today's episode, I want to show you guys the other lesser-known side of TCM, show you guys the challenges that physicians in Singapore face, and maybe give you guys an alternative perspective into this industry, lah. So to help you, or to help me, I have with us my good old friend, ZJ. He is a TCM physician as well, currently working in one of the public institutions in TCM here in Singapore. And we will be discussing the topic of why TCM physicians in Singapore are leaving the industry, or why more and more TCM physicians in Singapore are leaving the industry. So welcome to the show again, ZJ. Thanks for taking
Hello.
Our time off.
It's good to be back. Thanks for having me again.
Very welcome. So, you know, there are several factors that are causing more physicians to leave the industry. Mm-hmm. So we'll discuss them today. And I think we'll start off with the main one, which is the one that most people are concerned with, at least in our industry, which is TCM, the low salary of TCM that is causing more and more people to leave the industry.
Yes.
So, okay, so maybe I plug some information here first. So I think in 2019, right, there's this article that came out saying, owing to the low starting pay of the TCM industry, only around 10 graduates each year from the NTU double degree course in Chinese medicine and biomedical science work in the Chinese medicine field. Right, so this is an article posted by Lianhe Zaobao, one of the media outlets in Singapore. And according to this report, the starting pay of a TCM physician ranges anywhere from 2,000 to 3,000. And this starting pay is ranked at the bottom third of 84 university courses in Singapore. So it's top three, but from the backside, lah. Okay? And apparently the situation has improved in 2020. The mean salary has gone up a little bit, but is still reasonably lower as compared to many of our peers, lah. So, yeah, what do you feel about this, DJ?
I think it's definitely a very sore point for many of us in this industry. Something that we struggle with since year one or two, maybe. Yeah. And it has been a push factor for many people to not join, for many of my classmates, to not join the industry. Even though, you know, they graduate from the course, some of them refuse to take the license because it's pointless if you are not going to the industry. Some people take the license already, then after that, don't practice TCM, which is also a very, very sad waste of time and talent and effort. Yeah, so I do agree that it's a problem, yeah, for our industry. Especially for us younger physicians, I feel. Yeah,
it's a problem because of various factors, I feel, right? So yep. I mean, if you look at it on a face value, like the low pay itself is one aspect. But I think in our degree is quite unique in the sense that not only the pay is a factor, but also the fact that it's a 5-year course, right?
Yes, and
it's a course that involves an overseas component as well.
Yeah.
So you have that additional component of
increased cost,
right? Paying extra year of school fees, paying additional to go overseas to study.
Yeah.
And then the opportunity cost of having lesser working years than your peers when you come out, right? You are 1 or 2 years behind most of your peers. Yeah. And so this adds up to really making this very challenging, right, for newer physicians who are coming out to be able to sustain a very extravagant lifestyle, but to just meet basic needs.
Yeah.
it's tough, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah. I guess that's one of the biggest reasons why there's this push, like what ZJ said, to physicians leaving the industry in search of greener pastures.
Yes. For example, okay, let's just take for example, there's someone close to me who I know, who's working in an admin job, graduated from the same course, went through the entire process, got the license, everything, and then working an admin job, and then earning more than what we are earning. That's one. And then secondly is, in our industry, very rarely do we have bonus, right? We rarely get bonus, we rarely get the 13-month and all that kind of performance bonus and stuff. Maybe the bigger institutions have, but retail outlets, the private clinics, they rarely give bonuses. So these bonuses and the difference in pay, they really add up to about almost, or I would say more than 20k per year. Yeah, so the 20k per year is a big sum lah. Yeah, it's a huge sum. And it does cause a bit of unhappiness lah and bitterness when considering these numbers.
I mean, definitely we you know, it's normal to compare. Obviously, it's not healthy, or it's not necessarily a good thing.
Mm.
But it's, the facts are there lah.
Mm.
I would say that I'm probably not unhappy at, you know, the comparison aspect, but for myself at least, I'm more unhappy at the fact that, you know, we, or at least I don't feel that our degree is being respected.
Yeah, correct. Yeah, enough, definitely. Yeah. Yeah,
that's what my main gripe is lah.
Yeah.
And definitely, if you compare, you're always like lesser than someone. But then again, you're always better than someone.
Yeah, that's true.
But in relation to, in terms of the respect that this degree is being accorded, I think that is something that is lacking.
Yeah. So to clarify, it's not that I'm unhappy that other people are earning more. It's just that, for the amount of effort and the amount of I guess things that are required of us even now, in our current jobs as physicians, I feel that we are not being paid fair wage lah. Mm.
And also, you know, it's not only the upfront salaries or the upfront bonus that there is, I would say, we are a little bit disadvantaged. Also, there's a lot of hidden costs involved in pursuing this job, right? So your hidden costs, like, for example, you need to renew your license fee. That's a few hundred every few years. And then you have, you need to go for lessons or courses. So that costs money also. Some of my peers even take leave to go for course because they just cannot find time out of their schedule.
Yeah.
And you have to clock a certain number of hours. And so I think all these small things add up lah when you already have such a minimal kind of wage. And you know, for younger physicians who are just starting out at that particular age where you want to, you know, start a family, you want to get married, you want to buy a house, I think these are very heavy pressures that really weigh on you lah.
Yeah. And to add on the uni course, the course of our program, some people start out their working life with a huge debt. It takes a long, long time to pay off the debt, and then after that to slowly accumulate enough wealth to, you know, move on to the next stage of life lah. Yeah. Especially if like the pay is that low.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I also have to struggle to pay off debt.
Mm.
And I'm sure a lot of people are lah, but it's just a lot harder when you start with such a low salary lah, right? Which most of the physicians do. I tell you a story. Last time, when we were hearing all these, past experiences from our seniors, especially the first few batches, I mean, they definitely had it much worse than us. Now we, at least, I think we still get a decent wage upon graduation. I was hearing stories of physicians getting paid 1,008, even lesser than that, just to get employment back then. Yeah. And even then, a lot of our seniors could not find jobs at the earlier stages. And many of them had to resort to doing like other kind of non-related industries for much lower wage than even what we are earning now. Yeah, which is ridiculous lah, because you spend so much money and so much time studying this thing, and then if you know you're not remunerated, or if it's not a fair wage that you get out of it, then the only reason why you would do it is because you are really passionate about it.
Mm.
Yeah, but yeah. Passion doesn't put food on the table. A lot of people in the creative industry will probably know this lah, as well, right? So. Yeah, and I think this is a big factor that is pushing a lot of people away lah.
Mm.
Or even if people who are doing this now, they don't know it yet, they will definitely feel it down the road lah, for those who are pursuing this,
yeah,
this path.
Yeah. Yeah lor. So on the topic of passion, I think that even our classmate, one of the most passionate TCM physicians, he really loves TCM lah.
Loves it, yeah.
He loves, but you know, even he feels that, also cannot take it already. For some context, he has one of the lowest starting pay in our industry. But that's because he's bonded lah. Yeah.
He got a scholarship from somewhere lah.
Yeah. So he too feels like, hey, maybe it's more worth it to break the bond and go to greener pastures. Yeah.
Yeah, and as much as we want to, or as much as people believe that TCM is supposed to be good for, you know, the world, just be altruistic, just to give back, you know, we want to do charity and all. I mean, this is definitely something that most physicians, I think, don't mind doing, like don't mind giving back, don't mind doing charity and all these kind of things. But in terms of the practical sense of the word, it's very hard to do it lah, unless you have some form of, you know, foundation behind you to support you. I know a lot of people say that, you know, TCM all very rich. I know of many more senior physicians who have made quite a big wealth, or have like made quite a good living out of just TCM. Mm. But I think a lot of these, you know, older physicians who have established themselves already, I think back then in the past, the conditions were much different. First and foremost, it wasn't that expensive and that difficult to get the degree in the first place.
Mm.
And then a lot of these, you know, physicians who have so-called inverted commas made it, they also have other businesses apart from TCM, right? They either run their own medical shop or they're involved in other businesses, and that's where they get their main bulk of their fortune. Ah. Mm. The rest of them, the time seeing patients, they don't actually earn much. It's more for like the passion side of it. This is what I believe lah, for the older physicians. But for a lot of the younger physicians who are just coming out, it's very difficult to go down this road because you have to spend so much time and money going through the whole program, which is mandatory now.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so coming out on the other side of it, there's, I think, a lot more kind of baggage and a lot more limitations that are holding us back.
Yeah. I think in the past, it wasn't as regulated. Lah. Yeah. So a lot of things they can do, you know, maybe they just see patients out of their own home, so that is reduced cost already. Rental cost is reduced, all that. Whereas now, you know, I think you can't really do that anymore, right?
I think you still can, just that in the landscape now, probably a bit harder to do something like that lah.
Mm.
But it's still possible.
Yeah,
just that it's not the norm now.
Mm.
So maybe people will choose to go to a proper clinic.
Yeah. Which is good lah, which is good. It is a modernization of the practice and all that. But yeah, it's a very different climate now as compared to last time.
Yeah, so I don't think it's fair to compare to the past. A lot of things have changed, and yeah, this is the reality of most, I think, younger physicians now lah.
Mm. Yeah.
So what are your plans?
Mine currently, I'm still in this job. I would say that definitely the 成就感, the
sense of accomplishment.
Yeah, sense of satisfaction you get from this job is high lah, right?
High.
Especially when you treat a patient, the patient comes back next time and say, hey, wow, you know, I feel much better. There's less pain. The sense of accomplishment is there. I would be very okay to remain in this job. But I'm getting married at the end of the year, you know, and
you have plans.
I have plans, that's right. And it's expensive lah. So, you know, marriage, then the house after that, then who knows, maybe key down the road. All this add up, and it's not easy to remain here lah. Add to that, you know, our work hours are non-standard. Most of us have retail hours. So that's what, 10, 11 to 9?
Eight? That's if you work in like those malls lah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Can be
yeah.
like 10 to 10 even.
Yeah.
Some places.
Yeah. Some private clinics are 10 to 10. Yeah.
Depending on where you work.
Yeah. Lo.
But generally you have to work weekends.
Generally, most you have places. To work weekends. Yeah. Yeah. If not, then in the big organizations, you work 5.5 days. Which is very, very taxing because that's essentially you're waking up 6 days a week lah, just to go for work. And that takes a toll. That takes a toll on the mental health, I feel lah. Because you sleep very little. Or at least that's me for me. you know,
no
revenge,
yang-sen.
Procrastination. yeah, and then it takes a toll on your social health because most people end on Friday, right? And then they want to go out. They want to meet up. Not gonna meet lah, but outside of COVID, you can meet. But you have to say, either you say no, or you say like, oh, okay, I gotta go at like 10:30 so that I can sleep and then have enough rest for the next day. And yeah, so these are, other than the monetary aspect, I think these are some of the things that need to be updated lah in our industry. The work hours, the work number of work days especially. Because like for me, I have to work Saturdays mandatory.
5.5 days.
5.5 days, right? And then I have 1 half-day work week. Weekday, but this means that you know most of the weddings are on Saturdays, and then I cannot go. Either I cannot go, or I have to take leave to go, which is not worth it, right? I mean, it's worth it for me to celebrate.
See who's getting married. Hey. not important one, man.
If Ming get married,
right.
I definitely take. Yeah, but it's painful long to take a leave for a Saturday. And then for me I work 8 hours a day, which is nice, right? I work 9 to 5, which is nice. But if I take a 1 day leave, that means that my leave is worth less than, let's say, the leave of an ME job who works 9-hour day. Correct or not?
But longer days.
Longer day.
Lesser days lah, in a
way. Correct. Longer day, but lesser day. They take 1 day leave, it's worth more than if I work shorter day and then I take 1 day leave.
Makes sense. And I think this is coming to the second point that I wanted to make already lah, which is the, I wouldn't say lack of a work-life balance, but it's a work-life balance that is a bit more compromised than normal kind of office jobs. Yeah, so like what I mentioned just now, sometimes we even have to take our leave to go for courses because we don't have enough leave and we need to clear the course by a certain date, right? And because of like retail hours in most places, you find it difficult to have meetings with your friends because your friends are off Saturday, Sunday, but you're off maybe a weekday and a Sunday. Mm. You have to work on a Saturday, which most people will go out or something like that. So it does affect a little bit your social life. And I think another aspect is, at least for myself, I don't really have any money to have a social life. It's very hard to
go to hawker center, maybe.
Yeah, it's very hard to actually go for like parties or go for like expensive dinners. I mean, that's your kind of thing of a social life lah. But even just going out for like normal meals at normal places is difficult lah because of this aspect of money lah. At least for my case lah, I don't know about other people.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it does really affect your social life as well. And even back in university, I think there was quite a bit of stress on myself because I wanted to do the university experience day and join staff. But the course itself was very, very hectic. It's much more hectic than most other degrees. So either you don't have any university life and you just study, or you have a university life but you sacrifice like a a lot of other sleep. Things like sleep, which I did lah. And I think now it's starting to take a toll on my body in terms of, I think my physical health really went down after university because of all the late nights and the bad things that I was doing to my body lah. Yeah. So even if it's true. Yeah. So even if you don't feel it, if you don't talk about it, most people don't talk about this lah, but the social aspect is, I would say, a minor reason also lah, as to why people are maybe turned off against the idea of this industry lah.
I think okay, for me personally, I also, you know, before this, Saturdays used to be breakfast time with my family. Yeah. But ever since I started working, cannot lah.
No breakfast.
Have to work lah. I breakfast myself lo.
Eat bread while walking to the MRT. Crying.
Tapao bread on
crying
the
crying while walking with the bread.
Your bread not salty enough.
Salty, yeah.
Put
salt.
Some tears. Yeah lo. So it takes a toll lah. When I first started out, I like, wow, you know, excited. I can finally be a physician. Yeah, but after...
Prestigious.
Prestigious.
Noble.
Wow, people call me Ishi. Hey. Oyo. Then, family gatherings. People say, hey, can treat me or not? Wow, then I say, can. Yeah, now I got the skills.
Now you got the skills.
I got the skills. I know how to treat. But after, you know, a couple of months, it takes a toll.
That's the impression... thing, right, that I was talking about at the start.
Yeah, yeah.
Most people tend to have a positive impression, which I think is great lah. Yeah, but you know, today we just wanna talk about the struggles.
Yeah.
Complain a bit.
A bit sadder theme for sadder today. Theme,
yeah. But I mean, it's the reality lah, and it will. These kind of issues, I think, will affect even you as the listener, because you know, downstream, if you know, more and more physicians leave the industry, what's going to happen, right? You're going to have lesser competency, lesser talent pool in the whole industry. You're going to get, you know, diminishing of skills. Less people coming in. You're going to get lower quality of treatment. And downstream, it will affect you, ma. Right? You don't think it's just like something that is related to us. But I think it's something that is worth talking about, because then if we are able to effect some change in a positive direction, at the end of the day, it's beneficial for everyone. If you believe TCM works,
it will become a sunset industry.
Sunset.
Aging population.
A lot of all the like Lao Zhong Yi, all the old physicians, like they're always very positive towards this industry. Like they say, oh, the TCM is like always going to be progressing. There's a lot of future for TCM. Which I believe is true lah. Yeah, just that it's difficult if you are not able to solve this limiting factor. At least now the landscape is better.
It's much better.
You can get a job quite easily.
Can get a job. So I would say that job security wise, kind of there. Unless you make a big mistake in the industry or something. But otherwise, job security is there. It's just that it's low pay lah. Yeah.
Okay. So then another aspect of this, right? I would say is the lack of career opportunities, right? So this is another point. This is another point, right? So being a normal kind of office worker, you have some form of progression, right? Even in the army, you have progression, right? You can rise through the ranks. In a normal kind of corporate world, you can rise through the ranks, you get pay increment, you get more bonus, you get more status, authority, blah, blah, blah. But for TCM, it's very hard to have career progression.
Yeah.
What are you going to be if you advance?
Senior TCM physician.
doesn't make any much difference.
It doesn't it makes no sense to the outside corporate world. Let's say if you want to jump, right? As a TCM physician who has been here for 2 years, and as a TCM physician who has been here for 20 years, the benefit of being here for 20 years is not big if you want to go into the corporate world. Yeah. Whereas like if you're in the corporate world and you want to jump around, you know, you have titles like, oh, okay, I'm a senior executive, I'm a junior manager, yeah, that you can put in your portfolio, in your resume, that will a little bit nicer lah, yeah.
Like you manage this project before,
correct.
Or you CTO to Grab, or then you can jump. So the titles help lah, yeah.
Help,
it's true in TCM, like no matter, even if you work 20 years, right, I think it's an industry that is very reliant on skills. So, I mean, obviously people see value lah. So maybe if you see a physician that has 20 years of experience, you would more likely trust the guy. Mm. Or if someone has a PhD or a master's. But I beg to differ lah. I think at the end of the day, even like physicians with like lesser years under their belt can be more effective in their skills as to someone who has worked for very long in the industry and doesn't upgrade himself or herself. So in that respect, even within the industry itself, I think the number of years or your title doesn't make any difference. Ah. So what's to say that skill, which is also not relevant outside, like what DJ said, will be of benefit.
Yeah.
Right. And yeah, so I think career progression is another big thing lah. The problem with TCM, you don't have any transferable skills. Can I not say don't have any, but
very little.
I mean, obviously everyone makes the most out of what they have lah. So if let's say you are the kind that maybe gives a lot of presentations, or you can write a lot of reports, or you can train your interpersonal skills during your treatments and so on and so forth. But apart from those, there's very other areas for you to grow that can be transferred to other industries if you do want to leave, right?
Yeah, correct. Nothing that is tangible in that sense. Yeah. Like, for example, if you're you're working in the... maybe you can pick up like coding skills or you know...
Some software skills.
Fluent in what software.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, and you can put it in. But then... we can put maybe fluent in using needles, which it's not transferable. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, so for TCM itself, career progression is a factor lah. And even myself, even within TCM, let's say I want to upgrade myself, right? I want to go and learn more TCM within TCM. Actually, you find that a lot of the 老中医 nowadays, they don't want to teach you lah. They want to keep their secrets, right? They want to like steal their business. So, I mean, not everyone is like that. There are also some very generous physicians who are willing to share. I know that there are some physicians with this mentality still. So that definitely affects the growth of the whole TCM kind of scene here in Singapore. So even if you want to grow and become a better physician within your own field, there are also... it's not easy also lah. And the cost of, let's say I want to follow this famous doctor, right? Probably I will have to quit my job, then follow the person and then work for free or something.
Yeah.
Sometimes even maybe they ask you to pay them to learn from them.
Yeah.
And then you have no money already. Yeah. So how are you then going to support yourself to upgrade yourself and to learn more? Yeah. So it's very difficult also lah in terms of the career progression lah. Yeah, so if let's say anyone is going into this field, this is something that I think needs to be thought of also lah.
Yeah.
Unless you know for 100% sure you're gonna stay in this for life. If not, then you probably want to think about how you can make yourself more marketable by doing other stuff outside of TCM as well lah, right?
I think I must mention that the big organizations, the TCM organizations, they have certain schemes where they allow you to have dual track, right? So you see patients on some days, and on other days you do admin work. So in that sense, you get dual title lah, which I think is not a bad scheme to have. Because on one hand, you can grow your skills as a physician, maybe not as fast as someone who sees. Who has pure clinical experience. But on the other hand, you have the other title of maybe executive or clinic manager, and then you slowly advance through the corporate ladder lah, through there. So I think that's a solution lah to this career progression problem that we have. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's just the nature of of the work. It's like doctors, you don't expect them to be like Western doctors, you don't expect them to be skilled in like tech, or like you don't expect them to be you know, fluent in like marketing or business. Because most of them don't need it, ma. Their profession itself is able to sustain their livelihood.
Yeah.
Right? Most doctors, I will assume. Yeah. But for TCM, like a lot of our peers who end up leaving the industry, right? Then that's a problem, lah, because you are stuck in this, you know, small world, narrow world. Then if you want to escape, it's also difficult. Yeah. Because of the fact that you have these limitations, lah. Are inevitable, lah.
Yeah.
For professional degrees, lah, I would say.
But what are some of the factors that contribute to this low pay?
There are probably some that I have never thought of, but the most obvious one that I can think of is this culture of free clinics in Singapore. I think in the past, I mean, there are a lot of charities, a lot of what they call free clinics, public institutions that offer TCM services for very, very cheap, right? And so I think a lot of people start to get this stereotype or this impression that TCM is supposed to be cheap or supposed to be free, right? Even like recently, there's this mobile van that the East Coast Plan... The East Coast Plan apparently encompasses one of these mobile clinics to bring TCM to people who are maybe less physically able to go out of the house, so they bring the TCM to them. These clinics are heavily subsidized, so even for normal adults, I think you can get like less than $10, you can get acupuncture treatment. For seniors, maybe $3 for acupuncture treatment and consultation, which is which is almost free. Because I think they are subsidized by some organizations. So I think a lot of places are like that still. They're very heavily subsidized. And which is not necessarily a bad thing. Just that it creates this culture where people expect TCM to be cheap or free.
And then when they visit, let's say a private clinic that charges maybe $60, $90, then... it's expensive. It's considered expensive. But if you consider to if you compare it parallel to physiotherapy, you know, physiotherapy also around that price for about maybe less than 100 or so I agree
People don't complain when you go see a Western doctor and you pay like $500 or like $1,000 for a jab, like a painkiller jab, right? But if you go and see a doctor and he solves your problem in like 5 minutes without any, like with some technique, or like he just give you some medicine and he charge you like $100, $200, you think it's expensive. But one solves a problem, one maybe solves a problem, I don't know. So it's I think it's a mindset kind of thing lah. Like people just think that anything more than $100, $200 for TCM is expensive. But if you look at it in another angle, the degree is the same number of years to do as Western medicine, we are able to treat or maybe help with, not say treat, but help with more or less the same type of conditions that Western medicine can help with. I mean, obviously the more serious one we don't do lah, but the general health kind of issues, pain issues, we are able to solve it the same way as Western doctors. So if you think that TCM should be cheap, I don't think it's a fair kind of baseline. To judge TCM by lah.
Yeah. I did touching on that also. One thing that contributes to the depressed pay is the Western medicine, the recognition from the Western medicine side. Yeah. Because I think the Western medicine, their community is still split. Some of them believe that, you know, TCM can help. Some of them are neutral about TCM. If you go for TCM, it's fine, but just let me know so I know like what drugs you cannot take and all that. And then there are some that really oppose TCM, like Li Weiling. And they were right about it, you know, they were openly opposed, they were
condemned.
And this also, I guess, contributes to the depressed pay
It goes back to the point of recognition and respect, lah.
Yeah.
Because the Western community in Singapore is so strong, they have the powers to sort of say what they say is the law, lah. Yeah. So because of obviously the fact that they haven't been able to prove a lot of these, you know, concepts in TCM by science and evidence and whatnot. So the Western community, the scientific community, the ministries, they don't recognize it, at least in Singapore, yet.
Not yet.
They recognize that it's there, that it's complementary, but I don't think it's recognized to a level enough that it's accorded the respect that it should be, lah. And that's why the pay is largely, you know, unregulated. It's basically determined by market rate, lah. Like in the past, people pay you what, then the new companies just use that as a baseline. Yeah, it's not really used in relation to the value that you provide.
I agree. Okay, so for example, like in China, they have in their hospitals, right? They have Eastern and Western working together. So I think that's really the way forward, lah. Like you have drips with TCM medicine in it, and then you have medicine and acupuncture given at the wards and all that, alongside with Western medicine. And that's really the way forward, lah, for the medical or healthcare scene in Singapore. But it's a long way.
I said it many times before, lah. The TCM is not inferior to Western medicine, I think. I would say it's more of able to complement Western medicine very well, because there are many areas that we lack that Western medicine can supplement, but vice versa as well. Right? And if you're able to integrate both of them, at least in the context of Singapore, then both the medical fields can grow and develop to become much more than they already are, lah.
At the end of it, it's really just to benefit the patient, lah.
Okay, so I think the last point that I want to talk about is liability. Right? So with any industry involving life and death, lah, right, whether it be law, right, there's always going to be this aspect of liability. Yeah? And TCM is no exception. My teacher used to say that you have one leg in the hospital and one leg in the courts. the criminal.
Sounds better in Chinese.
You know, 一只脚在法院，一只脚在医院。 Yeah, so you're always treading the thin line between a lawsuit and being safe, lah. It's a very thin line. Yeah. Any mistake that you make can actually destroy your career, lah. And this was brought to the forefront, I think a few years ago, when they decided to raise the so-called damages, lah. Is it the compensation
penalty?
Amount?
I don't know.
The penalty. Yeah, they tried to, or they didn't try, they made it the same as Western medicine. So I think it's something like a few grand, that's the maximum kind of compensation that you can be, what's that word? That people can claim you
fine.
For, lah. Fine, yes, that's what, fine. Yeah. And they made it the same as Western medicine. Then people are complaining, but, you know, TCM is being paid so much lesser than Western medicine, right?
Yeah.
So if you get sued that amount or you get fined that amount, then essentially what's going to happen to you, right? It's going to be impossible almost for you to pay back that amount. So I give an example, right? In 2018, there was this case of someone that did cupping on a patient. Then the doctor burned the patient's calf muscle by accident, right? So, you know, the investigation showed that the physician did inform the patient about the risk. Even after the treatment, out of goodwill, because the physician burned the patient, he did not collect payment for treatment. So it was resolved, I would say, quite well, lah, by the physician, even though the physician did indeed make a mistake. Right? So the end result of that was the physician got punished, lah, rightfully so, and the punishment was a 6-month suspension, and he or she has to pay for the cost and expenses of the inquiry into the incident, as well as for the treatment of the patient.
The burn.
So 6-month suspension, that means you basically can't work for 6 months. So that's 6 months of salary, and you have to pay legal costs, you have to pay medical costs. Yeah, and suspensions can go up to a year even in some cases. Yeah. Fines can go up to several thousand grand, several grand, right, on the higher end.
Yeah.
And for some people who are repeat offenders, they even get their license revoked.
Yeah.
Then they cannot work already. Yeah. So all these factors make it also very risky lah. Yeah. And so you have to pay for what? Insurance, right? Professional indemnity insurance, which costs them a lot of money also.
Yeah.
For doctors, they would, Western doctors buy a lot of professional indemnity insurance, I know.
Yeah.
And we have to do that also lah.
Yeah.
Which is very costly also. So that's another thing lah.
Another incurred cost.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think I find myself, like you said, treading the thin line. And even when I treat patients, you know, I tend, or my mindset is more of safety first. And it's not a wrong thing. It's not a bad thing. But I feel that it can be better addressed in the sense that, you know, we should be given more protection and assurances that maybe if we didn't do this out of negligence, or we didn't do this out of like ill will or what, you know, then our punishment maybe less lah. But yeah lor, as of now, I find myself thinking more of my own safety, yeah, as compared to like treating the patient better, yeah.
Which is not necessarily a bad thing, but in some instances, it does affect your ability to get the results you want,
yeah,
right? Because you are afraid of doing certain things, yeah, so you don't do them all together. So yes, you may be safe, but then it affects the patient because maybe you can actually do it, solve the problem much easier if you're able to be more confident in the stuff that you do.
Yeah, correct. For example, I really, really don't like to do cupping because of the high risk of burning the patient. But I do feel that, you know, if for certain pains or problems, cupping is better than acupuncture. Yeah. But I'll still opt for acupuncture. Or even, you know, twina, which is the safest. Yeah.
But if you actually think about it, nothing is safe lah. Yeah. Anything can go wrong.
Correct.
At any time, right?
Correct.
Yeah. So if you are unfortunate enough to be at the wrong end of the law one day, then you probably, as a physician who has sacrificed so much to pursue this career, no matter how passionate you are, I think you will also think twice lah. We are fortunate that we haven't had that experience yet. We are always on our toes, but I think one day if that happens, then it's really hard to find reason as to why you want to continue doing this.
It'll be a bitter pill to swallow.
Yeah, so I think that's all the main points that we have, or that I have prepared for today. Like low pay, high risk, lack of career progression, affected work-life balance. Yeah, and these are factors that we feel personally, and it's definitely causing physicians who have even been in the industry to leave the industry.
Yeah.
So if you are planning, if you're a young guy or girl and you want to come into TCM, I think these are stuff that you have to think about before you enter. Even if you enter it already, it's stuff that you can always, you know, have a look at so that you always protect yourself. And if you're not in the industry, then like what I said just now, it also affects you lah, because the quality of healthcare will be affected the more people leave. And I think this problem itself won't be solved overnight. And it won't be solved by you paying more lah.
Yeah. It needs support lah. Government support.
I have no idea how to solve this actually.
How ah? Some steps that I feel that needs to be taken is, firstly, we need to do away. I mean, it'll be very, very hard. And maybe even impossible because of pushback. But I feel that we need to do away with charity treatments lah. If you want to do charity out of your own goodwill, then fine and dandy and all that. But institutions should not be giving free or even highly subsidized treatments out of their own pocket. But I feel that, you know, instead maybe they can be CHESS enabled. Yeah, so the government subsidizes the treatment, but it's according to the government subsidies. So this that reduces or it takes away the impression that TCM is a very cheap industry or cheap thing to go for. Secondly, I feel that currently the institutions for TCM education, they should come under the recognized universities, and they should be limited to undergraduate studies. If you want to enter the industry, you need to go through the undergraduate studies, or if you are not from the TCM industry, let's say you're a bit more advanced in age and you want to come in, you have to come in through the maybe like a master's or postgraduate, and then you come into the industry la, same as how
like Western doctors,
they're MDs and all that. So I think that will definitely increase the standing of our degree. The education level will also increase. The recognition will increase because it becomes a more valuable, more recognized degree. Yeah. So I think these are some of the basic few steps that we can work towards first in this industry.
To basically raise the standing
of
TCM.
Yeah.
Good points. I didn't think of that.
Mm.
But yeah, because I really don't know how to fix this problem.
Yeah.
I'm not intending to fix the problem. So.
within the system.
Like what I said, you know, you as a patient paying more, it's not going to solve anything. The money is just going to go to the business owners.
Yeah.
Or like the institutions.
Mm.
So yeah, if we are able to solve this problem, then definitely you'll see more physicians in the market, more people who are wanting to go into this industry. You have smarter people.
Yep.
And overall, the quality of care will definitely improve for you as a patient. So I think this is a problem that is worth looking at in the future.
Yeah, I agree.
And for the sake of the physicians as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, any last words?
I think if the pay cannot make it, then passion. Passion is the way to go.
Passion is the way to go.
And of course, you know, you need to expand your options. See what other ways you can make money to put it not in a not nice way, but how you can make money in this industry. Maybe, you know, do some house calls or something like that. Or you can go into product development, you know. Yeah.
It's not as straightforward.
It's not as straightforward.
It's not as straightforward as just being a doctor. Yeah. Right.
But eventually, I think worth it. Worth it.
Yeah. So, like what I said right at the start, right? Only about 10 physicians graduate from the course every year. Not graduate from the course, but enter the TCM industry. And more are leaving. So, as you can see, the ratio is quite skewed. There are actually many physicians that fall through the cracks and end up not continuing, which is a shame. We can have so much more talent go into the industry. Yeah, so that's why I wanted to talk about this issue today, even though it sounds like we're complaining. We probably are. But the point is just to, you know, make
raise
people
awareness,
more aware that being a TCM physician is not all rosy. So if you do in fact want to become one, then there are these challenges that might present themselves that you will have to face. Okay?
Yep.
Yeah. So I think that's all I have also. Thank you so much.
Yeah. It was great to be here.
For coming again.
And, thank you for having me.
Wish you all the best.
Thank you.
For your marriage and your wedding. Hope you can huat everything.
Hopefully the COVID restrictions open.
Alright, so thank you all so much for listening as well. If you want to support the channel, you can follow us on Instagram @TCMFolks. And we'll see you guys on the next episode.
Okay.